and economic equality of rights of all persons and to eliminate racial hatred and discrimination. We expect the city mayor would obtain top secret clearance in order that the office would oversee city employees, including Portland police officers, when they act in our community on behalf of federal agencies. This has never happened. We were promised the chief would make annual reports to the city council. We've watched you accept over and over again an empty report from a police bureau supposedly under your authority. We have grave concerns that civilian authority cannot exert itself over Portland police role in the JTTF. We assert the electorate cannot offer consent of the governed when we are kept in the dark as to secret matters. We are finding our 100-year history of the NAACP Portland chapter includes FBI infiltration, disinformation, instigators, and other government-sponsored terrorist activities. They have impeded our anti-war, pro-civil rights efforts. We know too little about JTTF, collaboration against Occupy Portland, and currently against the Black Lives Matter efforts here and across the country. Recent events indicate these practices continue, and like Contel Pro and the torture of uncharged prisoners, history will prove this also. We have entered a surveillance society. Our local police force grows increasingly militarized. We have no reason to believe a partnership with federal agencies who help provide the city with these intrusive resources will give us any protection. Your failure to provide oversight, your complicity in secrecy, has us suspecting we're not giving up our right to be free from warrantless search, that we're inviting secret police into our organizations. If you do not withdraw Portland from federal collusion, you are asking the NAACP to continue to labor under conditions which have hampered our struggle for so long. We draw your attention to the federal role in fabricating a terrorist plot here in Portland. We believe, as well as falsely targeting Brandon Mayfield as a terrorist, and indications that federal agents are surveilling and then targeting our Muslim community. Our analysis is that you are not engaged in protecting our community. You are threatening us. The JTTF has found a foothold in Portland's racist culture. We ask you to take this target off our backs. Rather than inspiring a culture of fear, how about helping Portlanders adopt a culture of care? Rather than signing off on secrecy, why not stand for values of transparency and accountability? Give up this failed Bush policy. Say no to the JTTF.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
And if I might, I have 30 seconds more. You asked a question of the police chief, and I'm paraphrasing. The mayor's question about what is the incentive for Portland Police Bureau to report unconstitutional practices of the JTTF, I have two names for you. James Chassie and Keith Notice. Portland police officers stood around and watched Portland police officers stomp James Chassie to death. If they can't control people within their own bureau, why would we believe they would be able to control FBI agents? The second question, the attorney general says we should trust her because she sued Portland Police Bureau. As this city council knows, the AMA Coalition for Justice and Police Reform, because we could not get justice at this city council with the police commissioner, with the police chiefs, went to the federal government in D.C. and asked the Civil Rights Division to come and investigate Portland Police. And so when a official misrepresents who did what and then wants us to just trust her. Thank you.
Thank you.
I have a question for the three of you. Mr. Handelman, I really appreciate you bringing to my attention the wording in the resolution, which is titled Not Entered into a Memorandum of Understanding. It, however, does say that, be it further resolved, the City of Portland will continue its current practice of not participating in the JTTF investigations, which our current practice is to kind of. So I'm wondering if the three of you, while we hear more testimony, could work on some amended language for this resolution to make it more clear. I mean, it seems to me reasonable that we should have the police chief to have some kind of secret clearance so that when something comes up, otherwise the FBI doesn't get to talk to him ever. I don't know.
Commissioner Fritz, are you suggesting that if something that happened, like happened in Paris or Boston or New York, that the FBI would come to the chief of police here and say, sorry, we're not going to involve you in this investigation because you don't have the appropriate clearance? Do you think that's what's going to happen? Because I think that would be really petty and ridiculous. So I don't think that we should keep the secret security clearance. I think it just it allows him and encourages him in the resolution as it's written to sit in on the FBI task force meetings every month or quarterly or however often they are. We don't really know. There's no reason for it.
So if the three of you would like to look at that resolution and as I continue to hear testimony, pass me a strikeout amended version of it, I'd be very happy to consider introducing that as a proposed amendment.
Mr. Mayor, Commissioner Fritz, my best recommendation is just say no to the JTTF.
Mm-hmm. Yes, but we have to have language saying that.
I'd be happy to give you, just say no. I will work on it for you, Commissioner.
What we tried to do with these two resolutions is make each option clear and decisive because, as Dan recounted, I'm not, and I think none of us is fully satisfied. Most of us are not satisfied at all with the current sort of halfway relationship. So we tried to set this whole proceeding up with both clarity of wording in each option and clarity of presentation by those who have the two different views. So I think we're doing that. But
I'm not convinced that
we may not have gotten the words right.
No, so. I appreciate that, Mayor.
And then have the city attorney take a look at what you're proposing. I'd like to get to something on the table that we could then take some more testimony on tonight.
Thank you. And I just want to say I appreciate that. But what you heard from the attorney general was that you're either all in or you're out. And so there is no wiggle room with language, right?
But
No, we're not looking for wiggle room in the language. We're looking for clarity.
We currently have the relationship that we have. So
right.
we need to figure out the language which ends that and is very clear. No, we're not participating. So that's what I'm asking you to tell.
If I may recommend, I think David Fedanke knows this law much better than us. Mm-hmm. And with the information he provided with you tonight, I think you would get much better information if you talk to the ACLU about what that language should be. I would be very uncomfortable trying to suggest some language because what I heard from the Attorney General is you're either all in or all out. And I believe her on that. Thank you.
Thank you.
U.S. Attorney, yes.
Thank you.
We'll touch base with each other and get back to you.
Okay, thank you.
The next three are David Hess, Jason Kafori, and Tom Nelson, and they'll be followed by Maxine Fuchsen, Martin Slapikas, and Bill Micton.
Hi, good evening. Thank you. I'm David Hess. Greg Kafori couldn't be here tonight, so he asked that I just read a statement on his behalf. Should the City of Portland continue its relationship with the FBI? This is, at its core, a symbolic vote. The FBI does what it wants. Should one city say no? In the mid-1960s, after the tyrannical purges of the McCarthy era, J. Edgar Hoover felt it was his prerogative to select America's great black leader. First, he had to take out the formidable indigenous black leadership. His efforts to destroy the lives of Martin and Malcolm are well known. After that, he turned local police units into virtual death squads, targeting Black Panther Party headquarters from coast to coast until the mayor of Seattle disclosed the FBI's role in these attacks. We all know these headline stories, but let's consider the small stories. In 1970, I was in a graduate school class at the University of Oregon, where we sought to discover what had happened to those U of O kids who had gone to the South as civil rights workers in 1964's Mississippi summer. I found a young woman at the end of the earth teaching at a job corps center in Astoria. She told me that she had had a number of jobs since college, but that each time the FBI would visit her boss, and she would be fired. In 1977, under President Carter, I was able to get my FBI file. The first item was a letter saying that it was nice that two Whitman College students were going to the South to register Negroes to vote. I was named. That letter was published in the spring of 1965 in the Walla Walla Union Bulletin. This was not in the age of computers, but the age of scissors. Beyond the headlines, the daily work of the FBI has gone on and goes on. One commentator suggests that we think of the FBI as a domestic political secret police, with its law enforcement function serving largely as a front. Over time, the political targets have evolved from civil rights workers, black activists, Vietnam War opponents, anti-nuclear groups, to peace activists and environmental activists. Now it is the Muslims' turn, as their mosques are infiltrated and their children solicited by skilled agents provocateurs. Looking back, how successful was Hoover's plan to supplant the many strong black leaders with the satrap? Do you recall who President Obama sent to Ferguson? It was not a modern Martin or Malcolm or Brother Stokely. It was Al Sharpton, the FBI informant. Not to resist is to collaborate. Someone, some city, should say no. And I would also like to add that historically, secret police do not make communities safe. You just ask the citizens of Chile, El Salvador, Guatemala, or Germany. We don't need secret police, not even two. Because if two are okay, what about five? What about 10? Maybe 20? Two is the beginning, but where is the end? Thank you.
Thank you. Good evening.
I'm Jason Kafori, and I'm speaking today on behalf of the Oregon Progressive Party. Our party has been at the forefront against this effort for years. We've led demonstrations. We've gone into various city hall offices with petitions. I'm happy to see that it looks like throughout this debate we're starting to coalesce around it's either all in or all out, because I think that really has to be the answer. And I would like to have a clear vote, and I hope over the next 2 weeks while we await this vote that everybody is on the same page, that it's either all in or all out, because I think that's critical for our city. Next, I asked a couple years ago when we were having the same debate, what is the benefit to our community of being in? And that was the question that you asked, Mayor. And I think that the burden for the benefit shouldn't be on us. It should be on those that want us to be a part of it. And what I just heard today was, well, we may get some information faster, and we may be able to train some people. And then there's this ephemeral idea that Portland police officers are going to somehow make the FBI better by putting Portland values in there. Come on. I mean, let's be realistic about this. The FBI is going to do what the FBI wants to do. The only question before us is, are we going to be the only city, only major city in America that's going to take a stand? And do you know how many other cities around the country are probably watching what this vote means? A lot of people around the country are watching what this city means, and we have a serious responsibility to maintain this position of not joining the terrorism task force. I think the most critical question is, that has not really been addressed now, what, from the time we've been out of the JTTF over the years, what harm happened? What did we as Portlanders not get? What information was missed? And the answer, I've never been presented, and I don't know if you have any answer to that, but I think that's something to think about. What did we really miss out on and lose when we weren't part of the JTTF? We've all heard these examples. We heard from Attorney Mayfield about what happened with his personal experience. I want to, just to give you a sense of what the FBI has done for the last 30 years, let's look at the Washington Post from this summer. For the last 3 decades, the FBI has been sending into courtrooms people to testify, forensic experts, and there is now an inquiry into 2,600 convictions, 45 death row cases, about whether that the scientific evidence of hair matches that happened at the FBI was completely unscientific and shouldn't have happened. And this is 3 decades later, this inquiry is being done. I mean, these are people who are now spending their lives behind bars who were sent to their death because the FBI maintained a system of sending forensic experts in and matching hair samples without any further evidence. When you come down to what the FBI wants to do, the FBI is going to do what it wants, not what Portland wants. And we need to be the city to take a stand and stay out and all out. Thank you.
Thank you. Good evening.
Good evening. I'm Thomas Nelson. I'm an attorney. I'm representing tonight the National Lawyers Guild Portland chapter, and also a young man by the name of Jonas Fikre, who's been referred to with not by name, by Mr. Mayfield. I have made a formal filing. I've handed it into the clerk, and I'm not going to get into that because I kind of wanted to respond to some of the issues that, as they've been coming up tonight. But I think you should look around the room and ask yourself, where are the immigrant Muslims? They are the ones who are most directly affected by what you're talking about tonight. There's very few here. One of them's my wife. They're not here because they're afraid. They think, and I would say they probably know, that if they show up at something like this that is critical of the FBI, they're going to wear a target. They're going to be gone after. How do I know this? Well, I'm kind of the go-to guy when an FBI agent calls somebody associated with a mosque or calls them at home. And I get these calls because I've been handling these kinds of cases. Specifically, I've been handling Jonas Fikre's case. I mentioned him. Very briefly, without telling you the whole story here, he was interrogated without a lawyer in the Sudan. He was told he's on the no-fly list. After that, he was imprisoned and tortured in the UAE for 106 days, and then because he's on the no-fly list, couldn't go home. Therefore, he goes to Sweden, where he is right now. We're trying to bring him home. We're going to try to do that. But my point is, Mr. Fikre was targeted by the FBI. He was not convicted of anything. He was released without charge by the UAE. But he's still in Sweden. And the Muslim community in Portland knows his story. And they know the story of Mohammed Mahmoud. They know these things. As I said, I get a number of calls from the community. How do I deal with this? And I always try to tell them, for God's sake, don't talk to the FBI unless you have a lawyer present. And when I get involved to that extent, and I call the FBI and say, I understand you want to talk to somebody, I'll be happy to show up. They say, well, that's okay. We really don't need to. Don't want to. Going back to the bigger issue, I heard the chief of police talk tonight about trust in Portland. I was a charter member of something that we used to call the American Muslim Public Affairs Group, something that met with the Portland Police Bureau once a month or so. And that was an exceptionally good group because we could sit around and we could share sometimes confidential concerns.
Just because of the hour, I want you to wrap that up.
Now, really quickly. We could share confidential concerns, but when in 2011 the JTTF came forward again, we dropped it. Now, I dropped it. I dropped out because I figured I'm just going to be a conduit to the FBI, and we don't want that. The Muslim community in Portland needs police help, and they need to trust the police, but they will not trust the police if the JTTF is involved. Finally, in this submission, there's a reference to former police chief Roseanne Sizer and her involvement in Jonas Fikre's case. I suggest you read it. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much.
The next three are Maxine Fuchsen, Martin Slapikas, and Bill Micton, and they'll be followed by Teresa Rayford, Sharon Maxwell, and Lightning.
Hi, thank you. Thank you very much for allowing us to testify. My name is Maxine Fuchsen, and I'm here representing the group Jewish Voice for Peace, Portland chapter. I'm here to speak in favor of the Portland, city of Portland not participating at all in the Joint Terrorism Task Force, not even on a case-by-case basis. And since it appears at this point that that position is not represented in either of the resolutions being presented, we would recommend that it be stipulated that any mayoral review of Portland's participation in the JTTF on a case-by-case basis be transparent so that the public is informed of the city's role and can be ensured that civil liberties and Oregon law are fully being respected. It's been well documented that in the aftermath of 9/11, the FBI engaged in massive surveillance of Muslim communities across the country with no probable cause other than their religion. We at Jewish Voice for Peace are particularly sensitive to the persecution based on religious beliefs or minority status. Historically, we Jews have been persecuted and discriminated against for these reasons, particularly in Europe, but also here in the United States. After 9/11, however, a wave of hysteria and suspicion targeted our Muslim brothers and sisters. And instead of anti-Semitism, we witnessed Islamophobia, which is aided and abetted by those in power who seek to promote their own agendas. As you've heard tonight, Portland is not at all exempt from this Islamophobia, and that's why we're particularly concerned about the city's participation. We all heard from Brandon Mayfield about the horrible flimsy and inaccurate information that was used that led to his arrest. That proved to be a major embarrassment for the FBI. The systemic intimidation of the Muslim community in Portland is well known and also not well known. We all have heard of families, friends of ours within the Muslim community who find the FBI at their door, had to endure questioning about friends and other acquaintances, had their computers confiscated and searched for no probable cause other than their religion and immigrant status. Can you appreciate how intimidating and fear-inducing this is? We in Portland need to stand against participation in any police surveillance that violates our civil liberties or puts any community under suspicion and fear. We at Jewish Voice for Peace know all too well what can result when governments target a religious minority, and we speak out against that happening here. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Slapikas, welcome.
Mayor Hales, commissioners, my name is Marty Slapikas. I currently live in Northeast Portland. Referencing a report issued in the year 2000 by the U.S. Commission on National Security for the 21st Century, co-chaired by former Senators Redmond and Hart, I submitted more detailed remarks earlier this week stating reasons why the city's involvement should be all in. The report outlined threats and recommendations to counteract those threats to the U.S. They listed 6 threat areas, 7 strategic functions, 4 levels of involvement, federal, state, local, and private involvement. Each level of government involvement must satisfy 42 distinct mission areas, primarily gathering current and accurate information. I listed 7 of my concerns in that detail. They are, should City Council vote on an all-out policy of the Joint Terrorism Task Force participation, upon what definition of terrorism will that decision be based? If Portland is no longer to participate in its share of national security, does the city have the resources to protect its citizens from threats listed in the commission's report? Will Portland no longer share its information with the federal government? 4, does the city of Portland have the capacity and financing to perform the requirements of the strategic functions listed in the commission's report under an all-out policy? 5, if not, what is the role of the city to be in protecting its citizens? 6, if Portland is no longer to participate in the terrorism task force, what strategic role is to be expected of Portland residents at the private involvement level? 7, would an all-out policy create a double standard of crime investigation? City leaders desire Portland's participation in the global economy. Like it or not, Portland is on a global two-way street. Participating in the global economy should clearly alert city leaders and, frankly, residents to take notice of the obvious threat of global terrorism to our local citizens, institutions, and economy. Certain Portland neighborhoods already experienced the potential of coal and oil train disasters, either natural or man-made. The city is currently negotiating with Pembina to locate large-capacity propane storage tanks on Terminal 6 at the Port of Portland. There is a risk to the citizens of this city when it permits such endeavors. Like it or not, the city of Portland is and should be involved in the fight against terrorism. The issue is not one of Portland no longer controlling our own intelligence resources, but rather joining and sharing our resources for the benefit of the whole nation. Violence against unarmed civilians, such as what we experience as a nation in New York City, D.C., Oklahoma, Boston, and the potential of our very own Portland Christmas bomber, is very possible once those who wish to do so realize how unprotected, how unprepared Portland and America truly is. In my view, Portland's continued participation in the Portland Joint Terrorism Task Force is a major concern of each neighborhood association, business, and citizen in the city of Portland, and even the state of Oregon. City Council is considering a binding city policy on this issue. It impacts our safety and will have reverberations to our city economy and around the nation. On January 20th, 2015, On January 20th, 2015, issue of the Portland Tribune, the legislative director of the ACLU is quoted as believing the city should fully withdraw from the JTF. She states, the FBI has a well-documented history of abusing the rights of law-abiding citizens. I would suggest there are those who successfully attacked us, who continue to threaten us, who have already demonstrated a history of not only abusing the rights of law-abiding citizens, but also abusing our right to live. And they are doing this on a global basis. No one can enjoy a freedom to worship, a freedom of their property, or enjoy a freedom of speech, or a freedom of the press, or even a protection of civil liberties, unless we first enjoy that freedom, the freedom to live. What I ask of this council debate is how the city of Portland will use its resources to protect the society of the tolerant from violence by a society of the intolerant, particularly when that violence is delivered by folks who have no consideration as to whether they live or die. Do not put us in a position of no longer participating in the Portland Joint Terrorism Task Force. The city's involvement should be all in. Thank you.
Thank you. Good evening.
Hi, I'm Bill Mictum. I live downtown. I thought the ACLU covered the facts quite well, and I'll be talking a little more emotionally, though still, unlike the U.S. Attorney's testimony, I'm going to be factual. The U.S. Attorney's testimony was rife with fear-mongering and propaganda. She leaves out national security letters, which not only go into people's personal lives, but then gag them from even talking about it. She didn't talk about Brandon Mayfield, who fortunately was here to speak for himself. She talked about all the training that they're receiving to do good work, but from based on her testimony, that training is mostly in propaganda and fear-mongering. I mean, one of the things that I was stunned by was calling the marathon bombing a success of the Joint Terrorism Task Force. I mean, I thought the idea of this thing was to prevent terrorist acts. The FBI, speaking of not preventing terrorist acts, was informed before abortion provider George Tiller was assassinated that the very person who did the assassination had vandalized a clinic right there where he lived. And their response was nothing. Okay? Also, earlier people mentioned the idea of the police chief considering having two police bureau officers working with the JTF is safer than having one who might disappear into the JTTF culture. And as an earlier person said, two won't disappear. You know, another thing that the U.S. attorney said was that the FBI helps lost loners. And then she didn't refer to Muhammad Muhammad as one of those loners they were helping. She didn't refer to Christopher Cornell, who was just busted for being set up by the FBI. This is a 20-year-old, unemployed, living at home, spending most of his time playing video games in the bedroom, and still calling his mother, Mommy, a person who considers his cat his best friend. He posted radical things on the internet, and then was roped into creating into an FBI-created plot. I also bring to mind Brandenburg versus Ohio, where that kind of speech is completely protected. That was a case that involved a Ku Klux Klan member calling for radical, violent behavior. Okay? That was protected. Anwar al-Awlaki was murdered for the same kind of speech. This is what we want. Stay out of the Joint Terrorism Task Force. And I might say, not to be too rude, just rude enough, do not listen to this man who just preceded me.
Thank you. That was rude enough. Thank you. Thank you all.
The next three are Teresa Rayford, Sharon Maxwell, and Mr. Lightning. And they'll be followed by Zachariah Muhammad, Charles Johnson, and Trudy Cooper.
I don't think we got the words on the page right in that version. I don't know if we have to have a full one. Good evening. Welcome.
Hello. All right, so for the record, my name is Teresa Rayford. I'm a representative of the City of Portland. I'm a fourth-generation Oregonian. I'm also representing Don't Shoot Portland and the Black Lives Matters. In regards to this, first of all, I would say vote no on JTTF. You don't need it. You're not responsible enough to handle it. First of all, I don't fully trust our local police department. Second of all, I don't believe this city leadership has the public safety as a high priority, not as high as the priority of appearing to be the best city in America. I also have an issue with the PR for the JTTF and other policing needs here in my city. For example, I learned about the JTTF pilot program at a meeting in the Donald E. Long Center, which included members of Multnomah County, Portland Public Schools, and several other agencies like the Oregon Youth Authority, that deal with our youth. In this meeting, in the presentation, I was advised that this opportunity would help Oregonians' police force, the gang task force and the FBI, or I guess, identify and red flag terrorists in our communities. The terrorist on the paper that they showed us was basically a head circled around with a line to a school, a line to a neighborhood, a line to a family member, and align to the society in which they were raised. And they said that based on those characteristics around that head, that there was a likelihood that that person would turn into a gang member. Shortly after that, I heard Senator Wyden, after a gang task force meeting over there on Emerson, 449 Northeast Emerson, stating that this was a generational problem and that we need to continue the funding into our police force so that we could offset the issues that we had to deal with these terrorists or these gang members in our community. At that point, I felt like he was a terrorist because he was in my community calling people that look like me, ages 15 to 25 years old, terrorists, and saying that we needed this money and this support in order to investigate them to keep our community safe. From the time that the Portland Police Union, back in 1983 and in 81, decided to pull terrorizing tactics against our citizenship, we have not been safe in this community. If you do this, we're not going to be safe in this community. Those children that told you how they feel about the police, that's how I feel about the police. We're not going to get along with you if you continue to terrorize us in our community.
Thank you. Good evening.
Good evening. Some great speakers earlier. I'll try to make my points.
Oh, just put your name in the record, Lightning.
Yes, sir. My name is Lightning. I represent Lightning Watchdog X. Unnecessary secrecy breeds suspicion. That's what the FBI represents. That's their culture. The FBI is going to make decisions to withhold information in favor of pursuing a prosecution investigation rather than empowering local officials to protect public safety. They've denied you security clearance. You're an elected official. They can make that change if they wanted to allow you to have that clearance as an elected official. They will not do that. We have to understand that we need to, like people have stated, be in or out, and there's no being in this situation. Everything that you're going to sign with the FBI will be a one-sided agreement. They will control everything, all the information. There is no agreement that you can submit and sign to that will not be in favor of the FBI. Now, you've stated that you want to try to have some limitations or add some other verbiage into these agreements. I don't think you're going to be able to do anything. And the best thing to do is stay completely out and understand that they are going to control the information. They're going to control what you do. And is that necessary for the public safety? I don't see why you've ever been in an agreement with JTTF to begin with. It does not make any sense. And you have to have some type of control on what you're doing. And if Portland police want to work for the FBI, just go work for the FBI. We don't need an agreement here. We don't need an agreement. And they can still provide, and we can still have collaboration with the FBI, but there is no reason to have people within the FBI signed under these type agreements. It does not make any sense for the public safety. Thank you.
Thank you. Good evening.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and Commissioners. I'm Sharon Maxwell. I'm a citizen of the United States of America and a citizen of Portland, Oregon. In 1980, we were told that there were three gang members from the Crips gang out of Los Angeles that brought crack cocaine into the community. What I've given you is a document that was written by Peter Dale Scott, the North Iran-Contra and Doomsday Project, an original congressional cover-up of continuity of government planning. What I'd like to do is read a few of the excerpts, but before I do that, I would like to ask that you do not participate in the Joint Terrorist Task Force, because it was the Joint Terrorist Task Force that brought crack cocaine into our community and destroyed the African-American community, that also created the school-to-prison pipeline.
So okay. Let me ask you to not read from this, but just give us your thoughts, because we can read this, you know, later.
Well, I want the people that are here as part of my testimony.
Take some excerpts. Then.
Thank you. Yeah. That's what I said. Okay. Assembled in this documentation on what we to know as continuity of government planning. Part of this planning on Doomsday Project and documents of the U.S. terrorism as a pretext to justify it and the abuse of constitutional government. Part of this was to fight a declared proxy war against Nicaragua in defiance of congressional opposition, plan for massive warrantless detention, create special networks for developing policies at odds with the White House policies, use public-generated funds to defeat opponents of the Contra and Proxy War in Congress, use publicly-generated funds to propagandize the American people, use publicly-generated funds to interfere with the witness with contra-terrorism, which is also part of the Joint Terrorist Task Force, falsely claim that the witnesses themselves were terrorists, cover up Contra drug trafficking that thwarted Senator Kerry's investigation of this. Part of this, the practice was uncomfortably close to the U.S. government. These funds, which were used to bring crack cocaine into the United States of America and into the urban African-American communities that destroyed them, by creating a counterterrorism network with its own secure system of intelligence, communication channels were created from which bureaucrats with opposing viewpoints could simply exclude the counterterrorism network, even at its own special worldwide anti-terrorism computer networks, codenamed Flashboard, which members could communicate exclusively with each other without collaborators abroad knowing. This was done through mid-level operatives. They were called the cable, the counterterrorism.
All right, thank you very much. I want you to stop there because we're running out of
well,
time.
Well, no, I want my full time. Well, thank you.
You actually had it.
No, I didn't. It's 41 seconds left
no,
for me to...
No, it's going up because you're over time.
Okay. Thank anyway, you. I am filing a Department of Justice complaint that our African-Americans, First Amendment rights, the Fifth Amendment rights, and the 14th Amendment rights have been violated. We've been discriminated against. You have killed 1,058 people from 1980 to 2013 because of the war on drugs, and therefore we need to make sure that restitution of economic loss and life of our community is restored as a part of this joint terrorist task force, that it has done this destruction right here on American soil to American people.
Thank you.
Your informants are still in our city. We need them gone.
The next.
They're causing way too much gang violence, and you need to quit blaming it on us when you know that you guys are the ones who hired them.
The next three are Zachariah Muhammad, Charles Johnson, and Trudy Cooper. And then the last three who signed up are Nancy Newell, Michael Withy, and Judith Boothby.
Hello, my name is Zachariah Muhammad, and I want to thank you, Mayor Hales, and City Commissioners on letting me testify why Portland should pull out on joining the JTTF. I want to start out by saying I am a Muslim, I'm black, I'm African, I'm a Somali, I'm a refugee and bilingual. To most, this would seem a list of something to not be proud of, but I take in full pride of, in all the identities I hold. I know what it is to feel profiled. Since 9/11, having the last name Muhammad raises an eyebrow, and still to this day. One story I can share is walking to a bus stop with my mother at 11 years old. We were targeted and called terrorists because she wears a hijab. We are almost into the sixth day of Black History Month. I want to highlight the names of MLK, Malcolm X, W.B. Du Bois, Marcus Garvey, Angela Davis, Assata Shakur. What all these amazing people have in common is that the FBI, or COINTELPRO, has targeted them and marked them terrorists. Muhammad Mahmoud is a name that has been said throughout this hearing. He was a resident of Beaverton. His mother, Maryam Butta, life is ruined because her son has been sentenced to 30 years in prison. Osman Butta, the father, has lost his son to the prison system. The police is supposed to protect and serve its community. Let's have them do that. The JTTF profiles and intimidates people. We do not need that. I am a community organizer for a Center for Intercultural Organizing. Prior to this hearing, I have called many of my Muslim friends to testify against this. But as Casey has said earlier, that the FBI is a word that is a taboo in Muslim culture. This is a triggering topic. It's similar to Voldemort, he who must not be named in the Harry Potter book series. My friends are some who I feel are very versed in politics and have interesting conversation with, but getting them to testify was hard because they feel they are better off in being silent and not in the horizon or anger the FBI than to be intimidated and be put in a box. One thing I want to conclude is I want everyone to remember Tom Potter was the previous Portland chief and also former mayor and was against us. Joining the FBI JTTF only complicates accountable law enforcement. I thank you for letting me testify.
Thank you for testifying. Thank you. Good evening.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. For the record, my name is Charles Johnson, and all these people, even Marty, are here to testify about peace. And peace is not what we're going to get with further cooperation with the JTTF. It just doesn't work that way. The FBI was not trying to bring peace in the days of Martin Luther King, and the FBI is not trying to bring peace now. They've been a tool in a ridiculous, corrupt drug war that has hurt this nation more than it's helped this nation. Just the only thing that ever came, perhaps came good out of the Republican Party is Nancy Reagan said three words, just say no. That is the correct response, both to overusing narcotic substances and to the JTTF. It's absolutely insane that you think we need a bunch of memorandums and documents for sworn law enforcement officers to protect us. They should just do it because they're good people. And then when they go overboard and they spy on people, they should be punished. But the FBI never punishes excessive law enforcers. So we can't trust them to do the JTTF either. Just say no will be just as safe, actually safer, than every other city in America. So don't think that we need to take two people out of the Portland Police Department and make them special JTTF liaisons and come up with nine positions to put body cameras on people so we can have more surveillance. No. Let the citizens train and interact with the police. Stay out of the JTTF. That's all that you need to do. Write a very short memorandum that says, the city of Portland is confident that the FBI sort of wants to protect people and doesn't need some fancy memorandums of understanding to do that, and that they will share information that actually relates to real threats without a bunch of stupid paperwork. Thank you.
Thank you. Good evening, Trudy.
Hello, Commissioner Mayor. My name is Trudy Cooper. I think it's clear from everything we've heard tonight that there's a basic contradiction between the culture of the JTTF and the FBI and local law enforcement and this city. And I think that, you know, people have testified a lot to the secrecy. I think there's two other characteristics that we were hearing full bore from the U.S. attorney, and that's duplicity and propaganda. People have mentioned the case of Muhammad Muhammad several times. I'd like to just point out one other thing, and that is that his father not only didn't get what he wanted when he asked for help, he also got the entrapment of his son based on his son's thoughts, not on his son's action. There was no criminal action that led to that investigation. Yet what we heard that U.S. attorney say this evening was three things. We don't need to make someone a terrorist who is not. She was talking glowingly of the their outreach efforts and their style of investigation. Second thing she said was, we help steer someone off the path in the course of the investigation. The third thing she said was, and mere speech alone does not justify an investigation. It doesn't build trust for a partnership for this kind of propaganda and misrepresentation to be coming to a community where we were there, we saw this. She also represented it as the guy who tried to bomb thousands of people in the square without mentioning that it was a sting. She also assured us the chain of command in the Portland Police Bureau would be intact, that the two officers would report to be answerable to the lieutenant to the chief to the mayor. But we know that due to the top secret clearance that that's not the case. The problem all along with the JTTF is that the mayor has no oversight and that the police act independently in relation to the JTTF. What we're asking you today to decide is this acceptable to continue a situation in which police act independently of the entity that employs them? It's a simple question of who's the boss. If we agree that it's the JTTF, then we're agreeing that the FBI is the boss. I want our city to continue to be the boss of itself in relation to these issues of community and safety. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all.
The last three who signed up are Nancy Newell, Michael Withy, and Judith Boothby.
Good evening.
Good evening. I'm Nancy Newell. I'm here today to say that I am quite popular with the FBI. Everything that fellow mentioned that sat here previous to me, I was listed as participatory in and followed by the FBI throughout my life. I'm very proud of my accomplishments, and I've saved a lot of people's lives, created a better quality of life. And what I'd like to point out to you is definitely no on the JTTF. I think that's an easy thing for this council to do. And there is terrorism happening in Portland right now, and it's our own government that is spraying the skies with chemtrails. And it has been covered up since I did a TV show here in Portland 15 years ago. Now the government of Italy, because NATO also sprays aerosol spraying from airplanes, is the chemicals that are in it, nanotechnologies, it's horrible. They revealed the whole thing. They've sued NATO. And I think this council should pay attention to that form of terrorism and clear the skies like Hawaii, certain sections of Hawaii have succeeded in doing. I asked the county to do so. They said it's not their authority to do that. But I think we could do it, and I think we could stop this activity because it causes Alzheimer's, it causes cancer, it causes destruction of soils. It's endless. So anyway, I just want to bring that to your attention.
Thank you. Good evening.
Hi, my name is Judith Boothby. Thank you for this hearing. I think it's very important. I've been to many of these hearings since the start of them. I'm just a citizen. I'm a healthcare provider, and I want to just talk about basic neurology. Anytime you have an issue that somebody's afraid of or they are in pain over, you never try to address the issue directly. That just makes the pain brain bigger. And I thinking that the FBI is going to solve this problem, it doesn't even talk to why we even have the problem to begin with. We need to learn to share. You know, if you have people that are disenfranchised, why would anybody do these acts unless they had nothing to lose? So as a culture, if we say, oh, gosh, you're scared, let's solve your scared problem by making this very expensive thing, that will make people dumber. And every person needs to learn to be brave. That's the only thing that will make our culture stronger. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Withy, well, I think you get the last word here.
I get the last word. That's pretty unusual. So really, this is a pretty easy one. It's pretty simple. It doesn't seem like many people at all that I've spoken with in the city really feel comfortable about an arrangement with the federal government. We think that you, as our elected police commissioner, should have at least the clearance to know exactly what they're up to. And if our elected official, the mayor, who is in charge of our entire police department, the safety of our city, is being left out of the loop, none of us are comfortable with that. It's a no and a no on both of these proposals. If you want to redo the proposal and just say, no thanks, I think that's the proposal that you should vote in. Now, that one statement from whichever of the three that were up here originally, the pro-JTT guys, which I just found pretty preposterous throughout their whole testimonies. I couldn't really know where they picked up or left off, what was true or not. But one thing stuck out in my mind. Yes, we are the only major city without a good coalition with a joint terrorism task force. But we're also the only major city without poison in our water, and it's for a reason. It's just because we don't like poison in our water, and we don't want poison in our police department. We have enough of that. That's it.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Okay, I think we're going to close the hearing, but I think we're going to stay in session for a moment because we got some ideas about amendments, and I think we want to get those on the table now because we are going to leave the record open for a couple of weeks for people to be able to write in. So I think the goal here is to further clarify the resolution number 146, which is saying we're not going to participate. So Commissioner Fritz, I think you have some language, and I think you're right. We don't need to keep the remnant of that one whereas.
Right.
So why don't you articulate that? We'll see if there's a second, and maybe we can put that into the draft as of tonight.
So, and as the mayor has said, we're leaving the record open. We said that we would do that. We want more public comment. When we come back to vote on the resolutions, we need to be very clear. We need to have the resolution before us that we want to vote on. If we were to amend it at the next hearing, then we would have to have another hearing. This has been a wonderful nearly four-hour hearing. I think we very thoroughly aired the issues during what was almost a work session for the first 2 hours, and then we've had some terrific testimony. So in response to this testimony, I'm going to propose I move the following changes to agenda item 146, which is the City of Portland shall not enter into a memorandum of understanding with the federal FBI and JTTF. The current language starts with, be it resolved that it is the policy of the city simultaneously to help prevent and investigate criminal acts of terrorism, protect civil rights and civil liberties under United States and Oregon law, and promote Portland as an open and inclusive community. So that would stay, and then it would say, and be it further resolved that the City of Portland shall not participate in the Joint Terrorism Task Force. And then we would strike, be it further. This is a proposing language, and we don't know whether there's support on the council for in or out, but this is the proposed new language. We would strike the next four, be it resolved. So strike the be it resolved about the police chief seeking clearance. Strike the be it resolved about the regular briefings. Strike the be it resolved that the city will continue its current practice of not participating, because I think what I just proposed is much clearer. Then leave in, be it further resolved, the provisions of this resolution are binding city policy and no element can be changed without an open public hearing and ratification by city council. And leave in, be it further resolved, that resolution number 36859 is hereby repealed.
Is there a second for that language?
Second.
And further discussion about adopting those amendments.
I guess my question to the sponsor is just the rationale for eliminating the resolved.
Which resolved?
The ones you've eliminated.
Well, we want to be really clear that we're not participating. That's what we've heard from public testimony, and I think this is the clearest way to do it. The police chief doesn't need authority from the city council to seek clearance on whether they get secret clearance, I would say that. We don't need a council resolution. I think that what this is trying to do is, as Mr. Handelman testified, is to carve out something like it, but without the annual reporting, and that's not
that was our intent.
The intent is we're not participating. Right. So we just say we shall not participate in the Joint Terrorism Task Force. We don't need to go into all those other details about the extent to which we're not participating. We're just not participating.
Right. Yeah, no, I think it's really, frankly, remnant language from the current ordinance that shouldn't have been in this version in the first place. And I want to clarify the point you just made, and that is we don't have to pass a resolution for the police chief to seek a security clearance. And he has sought a security clearance, and he has one, and I think he should, because there are going to be times when federal authorities need to give the police chief classified information. And I wish I could get a security clearance, but they told me that I can't. So I would at least like for him to be able to receive that kind of information when it's proffered by the federal government, and I believe that that's appropriate and that he has the authority already to seek and obtain such a clearance, and he's got one. So I don't think we have to speak to that in this resolution. But fortunately, one of our city attorneys is still here, and she can tell us whether this stands to reason.
Yeah, I think you're correct. The police chief and seeking secret level clearance, you don't need to authorize that. But that first provision also authorizes the chief to participate in the JTTF executive committee.
Right.
I
think this version of the resolution is stating that we would not be expecting him to participate in that.
Well, and is the intent to prohibit him from going to those?
No, but again, I think if we're trying to be, in my personal opinion, we're trying to be clear in this resolution that we're not, if we pass this resolution, we're not participating in the Joint Terrorism Task Force, period. And therefore, there aren't any implementing actions of not participating, right? But the police chief is free, as he does every day, to be in contact with the Federal Bureau of Administration. He is often in contact with the Federal Bureau of Administration because we're working of investigation because we're working together all the time. And I'm not saying that the man can't go to a meeting, but we're not
required
instructing him to participate in any way.
Mayor, you're the original author of the resolution. Right. Is the amendment consistent with your intent in providing the two alternatives to the council?
Yes.
Okay. There's a first, and we have a second to the motion. Okay. I call the vote.
Any more discussion? So let's take a roll call on that amendment, unless Deanna or our city attorney says, wait. Okay. Roll call, please.
Fritz.
Well, again, thank you to the community, and particularly Mr. Handelman, whose attention to detail is better than mine. Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Novick.
Mr. Handelman, being told that your attention to detail is better than Commissioner Fritz's is the highest compliment I've ever heard in this chamber.
True enough.
Did you vote? Yes. Aye.
Hales.
Well, I want to thank the council. We've had a couple of very long hearings this week, very good ones in both cases. And this was a very important one tonight. What we wanted to do, and I think we succeeded in doing, is really cue this question up for the community and the council very clearly. Should we participate or should we not? We have attempted an approach over the last few years that people did with good hearts and good intentions of try to get a security clearance, mayor. Let's try to make this arrangement work. In my opinion, I think in many people's opinion, it hasn't. So what we really wanted to do was call the question. And I think we've gotten really excellent testimony and really well-informed presentations from both points of view tonight. So that's really what I had hoped for in setting up this alternative approach to considering a resolution at the City Council. So thank you all for your engagement in that. We will schedule this for a vote on the 19th. And we're adjourned.
And we should probably dispose of 147.
I'm sorry?
Dispose of 147.
And we'll send 147 back to my office.
And we'll pass 146 to second reading.
No. Wait, no. You keep
I'm sorry, 148.
You keep the ordinance with the resolution.
Right.
All three pass to
the 19th.
Pass the second reading on the 19th.
Okay. Did you want to give it a time certain or? That's an afternoon session that has...
Afternoon session that was otherwise going to be occupied, but now I think isn't. Is that right?
I have a Vanadia appeal.
That's going to take 10 minutes. So 2:15
on these.
That date.
Carla, thank you.
You're welcome.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you, Carla. You're welcome. Now we're adjourned.
Okay. Thank you. I'm very good to do it.
Well, I think so, too. I think so, too. It was helpful to me, even though we all a little butt sore after this week.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'll give this to Carla so that she can get it.
Okay, good. Thank you, Dan.